Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so excited today because I have Tarina Melodano with me, and she is a force to be reckoned with. She is a survivor in every sense of the word, empowered with resilience, empathy, and determination by living through child abuse, sexual assault, and leaving a high-demand religion. As a life coach and speaker, Tarina now helps others love themselves, speak their truth, and live an authentic life full of joy and purpose. Dubbed by Faith Wire News, the mom who took on Hollywood and won. Her superpower is her unapologetic vulnerability. Tarina has been featured by dozens of national and international media outlets for her story and her powerful message, including the New York Times, CNN, ABC, The Guardian, Vanity Fair, Fox, and The Washington Post. Tarina, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to have you and to dive into your story because I know I just said a lot there and introduced you, but could you just start to share a little bit about your journey and how you got here today?
Yeah, so I was raised in a home with a father who suffers from mental illness. Since I've been an adult, he's been diagnosed with bipolar and narcissistic personality disorder, which is a very, very difficult combination to grow up with. So there was a lot of abuse in our home. And as I moved out and started just spreading my wings, I realized that they were a little bit broken. And so I just, ever since I've become an adult, been on a journey of healing and of learning, studying psychology and mental health and self-help, and just been on a journey to figure out how my brain works, how mental health works, how positive mental stamina works, and just really trying to empower myself. And then as I've gotten married and had children, that has brought into, you know, empowering my children to be able to speak up for themselves, to have good knowledge and skills and tools to speak up for themselves. And my family, we were invited to go see a pre-release screening of a movie. So before it was released to the public, and it was a children's movie, and we're there and we're watching it, and there's this scene, and I just get a little bit uncomfortable. I'm like, this does not sit well with me. And after the movie, my husband and I were discussing it, and he picked up on it too. And so in this scene, well, for the movie, there's anthropomorphic animals, and one of them is a police dog, and he has to infiltrate the show dog world to save this panda. And at the cusp of the movie, to save the day, he has to have his genitals examined. And he expresses his discomfort and says that he doesn't want this to happen. And then is instructed, you know, just, you know, that this has to happen to be able to save the day. And to do that, he should go to his Zen place. And this just raised some red flags for me. Like, this is teaching children a very dangerous message that, you know, even if you speak up about not wanting your private parts touched,
yeah,
just go to your Zen place, and that's how you get through that. And so I wrote an article and shared it on my website, which had a very small following, like 2,000 people, right? Mm-hmm. And not thinking that it would have a very large impact, but thinking that at least I could share with my small community, like, hey, this is what I saw in this movie. This is why I think it's concerning. The reason why I feel I'm able to see this is that as a survivor of child abuse. And here's some ideas on how to have a conversation with your kids if you decide to go see it. I never said, don't go see this movie. I didn't say, oh my goodness, Hollywood. I just said, this content's here. It's concerning. Have a conversation with your kids like this if you go see it. And if you don't go see it, maybe this is just a nudge and a reminder. Have an important conversation with your kids. And I was absolutely just shocked and blown away at the response. It spread like wildfire. And within a few days, my website had 5 million hits. I'm having all major news media reach out for interviews. And people just really jumped on this and started rallying together to say, this is not appropriate. Our kids do not need this. Hollywood, you need to do better for our kids. And they listened. The production company, for the first time ever in history, pulled a movie from the theater to be edited for content, which was just astounding to me that the words I shared could have an impact like that. And for years, I had felt this little nudge that my experiences and the lessons that I learned from them were meant for more than just me. Mm-hmm. But there was doubt, self-doubt. There was questions of how I would do that. And this experience kind of whispered to me the truth of those nudgings, that you're made to help other people too. Because along with the impact of having the movie removed, I had many survivors reach out and thank me for speaking up. I had moms of survivors reach out and say, thank you so much for alerting us to this content. I have no doubt this would have been very triggering to my child who experienced something similar. And so it just gave me a little bit of confidence in the fact that my intuition was on the right track and that my voice could be powerful and could have a positive impact.
I got chills. You know, it's so true when we do speak up, and you might not have the biggest platform, but when we have a voice and it helps one person, it can have that trickle effect and the ripple effect as well to really help other people. And the fact that the movie was pulled to edit, I think is massive. And you're absolutely right. That is never okay. And being able to open up this conversation, which you did, for other parents to talk to their kids, to explain things, to make sure, a little reminder as well, because I think that is the most important thing, because children don't know the difference unless they are shown what is right and what is wrong. And I think that is so powerful. And I'm sure everyone in your circle too, and I know I am, that proud that you did speak up, that you didn't just let it sit idle and you said something about it, because that's how change happens. When we talk about things that are uncomfortable, people don't want to talk about, but when we get to the true root of something and say something, it prevents other things from happening. And thank you for sharing that as well.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Of course. No, and I'm a huge advocate for mental health, even though I don't practice anymore, just having that background in psychology and how important it is to have a safe space to talk about it. But the fact that you were able to really use your voice so powerfully, and it echoed across the world, essentially, to be able for other people to hear your story, but also protecting others as well.
Absolutely. It's a powerful thing to realize that your story can help other people. And, and one of the things that I feel is most powerful is just the fact that when you share your story, you give other people permission to do the same. And as we share our stories, Dr. Brené Brown has taught us that shame needs certain things to survive. And one of those is secrecy. And so as we find the courage to share our stories with each other, it helps to release the shame that those stories may hold. And when you release the shame, then you can heal from those stories and those experiences.
Yes, 100%. I know, just from all the stories I've heard in the past and just my own stories of carrying something that's so heavy when it doesn't need to be. And whether it's done to us or something we've done, being able to release that and not carry that shame. I love Brené Brown. I think she's phenomenal. She's one of my favorite authors, but really being able to touch on that piece of vulnerability and sharing that and not keeping it a secret, not keeping it hidden away. And the more we talk about it, the easier it becomes. Not that it goes away or all the pain that's attached to something, but being able to have people hear you, hear your story, because I believe every story matters so deeply. You might not think it matters, but it does. It absolutely does, because you don't know who you're going to be helping. And I'm curious, when you did write that article, when you saw like 5 million views on that and people were reaching out to you, what was that experience like for you?
100% overwhelming. Like, I was so unprepared. There was literally a moment where I just felt overwhelmed physically and emotionally, and I didn't know what to, and so I literally just went in my bed and covered myself up with the covers. Like, as cliche as it sounds, like, I just wanted to cocoon myself and just take a moment to be just me, because the world was bombarding me at the moment. Like, the world was, I mean, not everybody, obviously, but the world was looking at me. And so I needed a moment to just, like, come in and center myself at the safest place, felt under my covers in my bed.
Yes. Yes. But no,
But I did just take it one step at a time, like one interview at a time, one interaction at a time. And it was very tricky to navigate, because the company that I was working for actually was promoting that movie. And so knowing that, I had, like, as I wrote it, I knew there were risks involved with my job, but I felt that the risks outweighed it. But then there was continuing risk as I navigated the public view and speaking with the public as far as legal things, because they were promoting it. And although it was an umbrella company and I was my own individual person, like, there were still legal ramifications that could happen. And so I just had to be very careful. And that was very stressful, like having to be very, very mindful of my words. And very clear that my intention was never to bring down this movie. It was just to bring awareness, you know? So it was stressful to think that, you know, like, there's a lot of ramifications that could happen. But every time I got a message from somebody saying thank you, it reminded me that it was worth the risk. And then definitely as the whirlwind stopped, as I found steadiness on my feet, it was just a beautiful experience to look at and say, wow, did that really just happen? Did my words really just have that impact? And it definitely set me on this path of entrepreneurship as I then began to look at what helping people in a more impactful way could really look like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think too, I'm curious how you navigated, like, what you were saying, how you were saying things. Did that take a toll on you, like, through that journey before you started on the entrepreneur journey as well?
Definitely. Like, I wasn't in therapy at the time, but I got back in with a counselor and I was like, hey, I need, because it definitely brought up a lot of things. So there's kind of like that chapter of the story, but the next one was that this movie and this whole experience happened alongside the Me Too movement. And so not only did I have people reaching out saying thank you, I had people reaching out and being like, this is crazy because it goes along with this, and then like shared a Me Too story. And having been raised in a high demand religion that was very, very entrenched in purity culture, I didn't really have a lot of knowledge around certain things. And so I became to get educated on what consent was. And that was not something that I had ever really been taught about before, especially in regards to sexuality and sexual assault and those type of things. And I started to piece some things together and realize that an experience I'd had many years before had been sexual assault. And I had never realized that because in my upbringing, a lot of emphasis for sexual purity was put on the women. Like, it's your job to be wholesome, and it's your job not to tempt men, and it's your job to dress appropriately so that they don't have bad thoughts, and a lot of those kinds of messaging. And so I just didn't realize that that's what it was. I also didn't realize that you could be sexually assaulted by your boyfriend who you loved. Like, that was not something within my scope of awareness. But when I really started to understand what consent meant, it became very clear, like, no, that was not something that I wanted to happen. I had said, no, let's not do this, and it happened anyway. Mm-hmm. And that is sexual assault. And so this experience of speaking out helped me to heal wounds that I didn't even know that I had had. And so it just added to the layers of healing that I was able to have as I had this realization, was able to begin healing from that experience of repenting of being sexually assaulted. And so it was just a really great, great example of how when you speak out and you continue to learn, that it just continues you on your path of learning and growing and healing.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think it's so important that recognizing too, you might not understand it in the moment or know that there's an issue because you're just kind of going through the motions or not aware of the depth of how the impact it was on you, because everyone experiences things so differently. And it might take a day, it might take months, it might take years, but everybody's process is different. And I love that you said you got back into therapy and started your healing process. And when you started that process too, moving into the entrepreneurship, how did that kind of segue in for you?
Yeah. So it was a few years after, after all of this and lots of therapy, lots of work on myself, and really just feeling like I've come into more of a space of wholeness. Mm-hmm. And with that, I will say healing and growth is a journey. And I don't think that there's ever a destination to the healing that we will have within ourselves. So not to say that I'm sitting here like, I'm fantastic and I'm healed. I'm still seeing a therapist.
Yeah.
Hey. But I feel like I'm at a space now where I've gained a lot of tools and a lot of skills. And I just have a heart of love and compassion. And so I got some training, and I now offer life coaching, and I do public speaking and do some corporate trainings. And the biggest common thread is vocal empowerment and helping people to feel comfortable with their voice, feel empowered to use their voice and speak out. And, you know, we may have people listening today that are like, wow, this is a great story and so inspiring, but I've not experienced child abuse and I've not experienced sexual assault. So I don't know, maybe this isn't so relevant for me. And I would say that it absolutely is relevant that you learn how to speak up and use your voice, because there is shame throughout our society and it encompasses so many things. You could have a shame story that you tell yourself about how you parent your children, that you're a horrible person and a horrible mother because you lose it with your kids and you yell at them sometimes. And I guarantee if you sit down with a mom friend with a cup of coffee and you say, I just have such a hard time keeping my cool with my kids in the morning when we're getting ready for school. It's so high stress. I have to get ready. They have to get ready. They won't listen. They're all over the place. And I just end up screaming at them all the time. It'll help you to eliminate some of the shame that is around that experience. And it'll help you to be a better mom. And so feeling comfortable and empowered to use your voice to share your story can really benefit you in all aspects of your life.
Yes. No, I'm so glad you brought that up too, the different perspectives of it doesn't have to be just one way. It's using our voice in anything that we have struggled with and telling the story, no matter what it is. And I love that you use the example of moms, because I know a lot of mom friends that are just trying to be the perfect mom, and it's being perfectly you. Like, I think we are perfectly imperfect. And, you know, I struggle with being a recovering perfectionist, as Brené Brown says. Yes. So I definitely get it in a different capacity, even though I'm not a mom. But I think it's understanding too, each story we have, there's a reason. I feel like everyone has a purpose in this life, and yours is telling your story, but helping so many other individuals be able to use your voice, because there's so many things symptoms wise that can be impacted when we don't speak up. We can start having physical pain. We can be almost debilitated in some capacities because we are not saying what we need to. I know, just a quick story. When I was younger, I carried a lot of my stress and anxiety in my stomach because I wouldn't speak up. I wouldn't say what was going on. And nothing bad happened to me, but I just like would carry all this like unnecessary stress internally. And it's how we view the world. And when we're able to use that voice, and what you help people with too is so imperative, because if we don't say anything, how do people know? We are not mind readers, as much as that would be great, right? but unfortunately, we're not. And being able to really create those spaces and feel that we have the confidence, even people like, I know you said you work in corporate too and doing trainings, but being able to help people speak up at work, that's a huge place, especially for women more in particular. I'm sure you could speak to this a little bit more than I can, but I know just sometimes you're shunned or overpassed on promotions or things because you don't speak up, you don't say anything. But it's really the empowerment is using that voice and saying what you need to. And it's scary, especially in the beginning. I'm sure you have some examples too that maybe you can share of individuals that you've worked with where it's really difficult for them to speak up, but working with you helped them use that empowerment they had within them and you brought that out. But if you have any examples, I'm sure people would love to hear if you have any.
Yeah, I actually, this is not a corporate example, but I have a client who had just left an abusive marriage, and she took her son with her, and she was really having a hard time being able to say what she needed to say to advocate for her and her son through the court system to be able to get them to safety. And she had several hearings already, and she was just really disappointed with what was happening. And so we worked a lot on helping her to get comfortable with the physical sensations that arise with speaking up, because a lot of times we'll feel these sensations and think that it's too much or just be overwhelmed by it. But when you're able to identify these sensations and name them and learn techniques to help breathe through them and walk through them, then it can help you to be able to use your voice in a way that you need to. And so we worked a lot with boundaries and communication, and she just felt so much more empowered to be able to, not only in court, because that was one of our big goals, was helping her to be empowered there, but just within her business also. I guess this does kind of intertwine, but she, as she left, is trying to start her own business because she's trying to now support her and her son. And she's having interactions with clients where they're really taking advantage of her. And as I'm trying to help her see how this is happening, it's because she's not communicating clearly and she's not having clear boundaries within her business. And so as we helped her figure out what boundaries should look like, how she can communicate those, as we role play that, because role play can really help you feel more comfortable, she was really able to up level in her business and feel much more comfortable in running something that was going to be sustainable because she had boundaries that were going to help her to be profitable and be successful. And so not only was she able to see this, you know, with court, being able to see some outcomes that she had hoped for because she was able to clearly communicate what she was experiencing, the necessity and impact of what she was asking for, but she was also able to really be more successful within her business as well, as she was able to feel comfortable expressing what her boundaries were with her clients. And it was just beautiful to see her go from this woman who was just so scared and lost and didn't know how, to being able to possess the tools. And now she has that, and she can turn in inward and find the guidance that she needs and use the tools that she learned and developed on her own. And it's great. I love that she's now feeling in control and capable on her own. And that's my goal, like to get you to a place where you don't need me anymore.
Yes. That's the best place. And I, you know, I love that you brought up boundaries because that's definitely one of my specialties. But I think too, when we are able, and that goes hand in hand with our speaking up for ourselves. And I love the example you use because it's true. A lot of times people get taken advantage of if they are not setting those boundaries. And that goes across the board for everything, every kind of relationship. And I just wanted to highlight that because I think that is so imperative, especially in business too. Because if you have clients like calling at all hours or taking advantage of things or whatever it may be that's happening in that situation, I think it's really important and imperative to have those boundaries, like set them, but then also having that enforcement and solidifying them so it doesn't continue to happen. Because a lot of times there's the misconception, oh, I'm mean, I'm rude, I don't mean to do that, but you have to if you're protecting yourself and honoring and respecting yourself first and foremost. And that's what I'm hearing too from you and like what your experience was with your client.
Absolutely. And it's kind of re-educating and reframing those things in your mind that you're not rude to right. set a boundary. People aren't going to think that you're an awful person. It's going to help improve your relationship because there's going to be clear understanding on both parts of what the expectations, needs, and desires are. And when that's clear, you can have a much healthier, happier relationship throughout any dynamic of a relationship. So when you really understand that this is a service to yourself and to the other person involved, it can help you be a lot more comfortable with boundary setting.
Absolutely. No, couldn't have said better myself. It's very true. So I'm curious, with when you started life coaching, what was that like initial like step for you to be like, okay, this is something I want to do as a business now?
So it's actually kind of funny because I had kind of thought about it. I have a friend who's been a life coach for years, and I talked to her about it. She kind of gave me some advice, and it was one of those things where I felt kind of pulled to it, but there was doubt and it was scary. And I don't know. And I had done a podcast interview and somebody reached out to me. But in this podcast, I'd not said anywhere about being a life coach. I didn't say anything about that. I was just sharing my stories, sharing advice, sharing tools. And she reached out and she was like, hey, I would love to work with you if you can do this. And so that kind of set me on the path of like, let me look at how to do this professionally and how to do this so I can really help people. If what I'm saying is calling people in, then let me make sure I'm set up to really be able to help them in the right ways. Yeah. And so it was a little bit of my own intuition kind of thinking about it. And then the universe saying, hey,
it's time.
Let's do this.
I love it. So I'm curious too, with, because you mentioned like doubt, there was a little doubt there. How did you move through the doubt when you were starting?
Definitely got a coach myself and have worked with a coach, and looking for evidence to prove that doubt wrong. So I have been a massage therapist for 17 years now. And for the majority of that, I've just worked for myself from my own home, and I've done zero marketing. It's all word of mouth, and it's been successful. And I have repeat clients and I have referrals, and it's a sustained business on its own. And so when I have moments of doubt of whether I can really run a business and do this on my own, I have to remind myself, Tarina, you've done this already for 17 years, just in a very different industry, but you already have, you know, so looking for those reminders. Or if I feel overwhelmed at managing a home and children and a business, because it's a lot to balance, especially right now while my kids are on summer break. I just look for times when I've been successful doing that. Like, my business is still newer, but I've got plenty of examples to pull from where I've been able to manage that. And then also, like I said, working with coaches, I've worked with a couple now to help me build skills and systems in different areas. And that's been tremendously helpful for me to overcome that doubt, because I've given myself strength and tools. And so doubt can be powerful if you use it as a tool. So instead of letting it overwhelm and shut down, I look at, what is the doubt telling me? What am I truly afraid of? Is there truth behind it? And sometimes there is, like the organization between home, wife, mom, entrepreneur was a little bit foreign to me to do that more full-time, because massage has always been really part-time because my kids are just getting out of the, like they're all just in school now. And so that's when I was like, well, let me look into a coach to help me manage that. And so I used that doubt to help guide me to where I need to get help, or to really look inward and work through whatever that is and remind myself of the truth, because the doubt maybe wasn't true. And so you can kind of analyze, is this true or is this not? And just go from there. If it is, then let's get help. Let's get tools. Let's strengthen this. And if it's not, let's work on reprogramming this self-talk to remind myself of the truth and gently like move forward with strengthening this area of weakness within my own mental dialogue.
Yes, no, it's absolutely true. It's being able to modify that, but understanding too, having the grace and compassion for ourselves as we move through that. And that's what I'm hearing. Like you have a lot of with that, grace period too, of understanding, okay, what is this doubt? Let's look at this versus running away from it. And, you know, you brought up, you have children as well. How have you been able, outside of getting a coach, managing everything, but moving into entrepreneurship and motherhood and that combination, how have you been able to kind of integrate both of those for yourself?
Yeah. So like I said, the massage has always been part-time because my kids were little and they were at home. And so I'm really trying to step into this, not full-time 40 hours a week, but a lot more time than I have in other things in doing this business. And so I've had to block it out in my schedule and schedule it in there. And so the kids know, like, from this time, mom's working. And that doesn't mean that I'm not available in case of an emergency or, you know, fights over somebody breathing somebody else's air.
But it reality. Means
that's when I'm home and that's when I'm working. So we're not going out. We're not doing things. I'm not sitting down and we're playing games. But then when I'm not, we are, you know, more, we're interacting more and I'm more present. And that helps me too, to be more present when I'm not working. And then also my husband is a great support. Like he's really great at supporting me and making sure that if I'm on a podcast interview, that the kids are quiet and that they're occupied. Or if I'm working with a client, he's really good at, you know, helping, like he takes over and he does his role while I'm doing mine. And so having that support has been really great too. And so I think scheduling it out and then just having realistic expectations, like I might have this many hours blocked out on my day, but then something comes up. And so maybe that day I work a little less, but working for myself, I'm sometimes able to work that hour in over here or just it's lost. And that's okay, because then maybe next week I'm really in flow and things are going well. And I just jam out longer than I had scheduled. And I look at the clock and I'm like, yes, I just did some great work here today. And so, you know, it just being able to kind of go with the flow and find that balance and just know that nothing's perfect. My motherhood is not perfect. My entrepreneurship is not perfect. My marriage is not perfect, but I'm perfect at being human and learning and navigating as I go.
Yes. And, you know, the one thing too that stood out what you were saying as well is like the flexibility and being able to adapt to situations. And I think that's being a mom from every other mom I've spoken to. It's being able to kind of roll with the punches and how things happen. And that's entrepreneurship as well, I believe, where you don't know what's going to happen. You can throw something at the wall and hope it sticks and maybe it doesn't. And then you have to revamp things, but especially because it doesn't come with a handbook, being a mom at all, being a parent, I think it's the hardest job in the world. And I hear it's the most rewarding as well. But I just wanted to highlight on that because I know there's a lot of moms that watch too. And I think they're so important in this world and dads too. But especially with moms and just what you do as well and being able to use that voice. But I'm curious, with your entrepreneurship journey thus far, what have been some of those aha moments that really helped you move forward and continue to move forward in your business?
So being raised in the religion that I was taught from the time I was a child that as a woman, the most important thing I was ever going to do was be a wife and a mom. And nothing could make up for that. And it was imperative that I be at home if at all possible. And the only reasons that really validate not being in the home with your children were your husband's dead, you get divorced, your husband's incapable of providing for you. And so that was the messaging that I had received for decades. And so it was such an aha moment for me when I could look at myself and realize I find so much purpose and fulfillment in my work and what I do and helping other people. And that overflows abundantly to my family, that when I am happy and fulfilled, I am a better mom. And so it helped to rewrite that messaging for me, that the most important thing you're going to do is in your home, and not to negate the power of stay-at-home moms, because they are valuable and it is the hardest job and it's so great. And I'm not knocking that at all. And some people find great purpose and fulfillment in that. For me, I find more of that helping and working. And so that was great to like have that aha moment that working helps me be a better mom. Mm-hmm. And so that was really powerful for me.
Yeah.
And also to put together that entrepreneurship and self-development go hand in hand. And so as I'm learning how to be a better entrepreneur, I'm learning how to be a better human, and I'm learning how to be a better me. And again, as I'm a better me, that overflows into all areas of my life. I'm able to support my family, my children, my husband better. I'm able to show up more authentically to my friends and my family, and just be more whole as a person as I show up in the world. And a lot of that comes from working really hard to learn and strengthen myself through this entrepreneurial journey.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. And I think it just goes what we like when I introduced you about living that authentic life as well, being able to really embody that and just knowing that nobody is perfect. We are all human. And that's how we learn and grow. And each person brings something unique, but really being able to identify that and be able to grow into that and evolve, because I don't think we stay stagnant unless we let ourselves, but we're always growing. We're always learning from different people, learning new information. It gives us a different outlook on things as well. And I think that's what's so imperative too. So I'm curious, I just have one more question. What are some tips that you can really give somebody who is starting their business or on the road of entrepreneurship that you wish you might have known first as well?
Be aware that there's things that you don't know that you don't know. And so I've worked with a couple of coaches that have helped me with specific things like the foundation for my business and vocal empowerment and getting certified in different things. But that doesn't always have to be the case, especially if you're starting out on a journey, you might not be able to afford a coach sometimes, but look into where education is available for you. My city offers courses. I know there's like tons of information on YouTube that you can find. Just really dive into your industry, your niche, and just learn as much as you can, because there's things that you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
And so it takes somebody else to help highlight your blind spots, and also to be able to give yourself grace. Like that was a big one to learn. That just because I want to be all in and totally committed to this doesn't mean that I can't take a little break sometimes. And it doesn't mean that I can't give myself grace for not getting things 100% right. You know, if you start a new job, you're going to make mistakes as you learn a new system or a new company and their etiquette, their verbiage, their whatever, like, there's going to be a learning curve, whether you're self-employed or moving into a new company. And so just think of it as the learning curve, you know, like give yourself some grace and just go into it with enthusiasm.
Yes. No, those were amazing tips. Definitely take notes, everyone. I definitely know I did, because it's good of a refresher as well of like how important certain things are, especially the compassion and grace for ourselves too. I think it's just really imperative on this journey. But I've been enjoying this conversation. I feel like I'm learning so much as well. I'm sure everybody listening is too, but we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you are ready for them.
I am ready.
All righty. So the first question is, who is your hero?
I know we brought her up already, but I would say Brené Brown. Like her impact in the world and on me has been tremendous. And I love the way that she just navigates challenges. And she is just a true example of authenticity and vulnerability. And it just inspires me.
I love it. Yes, she is incredible. What motivates you to work smarter?
What motivates me to work smarter is then it means I don't have to work harder.
Exactly. Simple as that. So if you were to be a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Ooh, yeah, this is a tough one because don't really, like, I just think all of them are so great, right? But I've always thought that it would be really great to be able to read people's minds just so that I could understand them better.
Yes.
That could also come with its own set of problems, but you know, we'll go with that one.
That's a good one. I feel like it gives you perspective, right? You're actually able to like kind of download what's going on.
Yes.
Absolutely. So if you were to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Well, we got to throw Brené Brown in there if she's my hero, right? She's got to be at the table. And my Grammy has passed away. And so I might bring her in just so I could see her again. And I really love a lot of Deepak Chopra and what he has to teach. And I feel like he's really powerful. So I probably would bring him in. And she'd probably get teased a lot, but Oprah, like, I just love the way that she has helped teach people and the impact she has on the world and the way she's brought in a lot more compassion and understanding for other people and her desire to do good.
Oh, yes. I love her too. She is incredible. So what is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
I tend to take lots of risks.
That's a good thing.
And so as I read this, I was like, which one would I even share? Like, what would I share? But I would think the most daring one would be walking away from the high demand religion that I was born and raised in, because we essentially walked away from our entire community, our entire belief system and everything that we believed and our whole lives were intertwined with just disappeared. And so it was the most courageous thing I've ever done because it left me the most unstable and unknowing of what was coming and what was happening and what was going on with my life.
And that is very daring. And I know a lot of people struggle with that and being able to actually take that step and look where it brought you today and how your life has changed completely.
Yes, would not change it for anything. It's been one of the best decisions that I made, which is not uncommon. You know, often the most daring things we do end up being the things that we're the most thankful for at the end of the day.
100%. So what is the phone app that you use the most?
Oh, it's kind of a tie between Facebook and TikTok.
Both great apps. What is the last book that you've read?
I'm currently, what was the last one I read? I'm always reading. So I'll just share what I'm reading right now.
Yeah.
I'm reading How We Braid Sweetgrass. And it's this beautiful story of Native Americans and the environment and just how we're so intertwined with the earth and nature. And it's just really opening my eyes to my relationship with earth and nature. It's been a beautiful read so far. I'm only halfway done.
Well, it sounds like a really good one. Got to add it to my list. So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I don't know. I want to say a redhead because I have red hair, right?
I mean, they could dye it for the movie.
They could. You know what? I am actually really horrible with names of actors and actresses. So I'm not even sure who I would say.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, if anyone knows, write it below. Comment below.
Right? Let me know who you think would be a good one because I'm not sure.
All good. What is your favorite family recipe, whether you make it together or it's a traditional?
It's super simple, but we have a spaghetti sauce that we make on our own that is just so good. And after you've made your own spaghetti sauce, it's pretty much impossible to go back to canned and store-bought because it's so much better.
I believe it, especially homemade. There's nothing like being homemade.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So if you were to describe yourself as an animal, personality, style, type, what animal would you be?
I think maybe an elephant because they're really strong and powerful, but they're very calm, loving creatures. They're very social, but don't mess with them. They can take you down.
I think I could see the elephant. I could. For you. Very powerful, but calming.
Yes.
So if you were to have a day off, no clients, no nothing, how do you spend your day off? What's your favorite way?
Well, is this like a dream day off or how my days off actually happen?
I'll leave that up to you. I'll leave that up to you.
Because a typical day off usually includes like getting some laundry done. The family and I will go do an activity together. You know, like we enjoy hiking and getting outdoors. Or just playing games together. But if it's a dream day off, then I'm going to hit up the spa and I'm going to be there all day long. And I'm probably going to take a girlfriend or two with me and we're going to just recharge ourselves and it'll be amazing.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Yes. So what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I think a lot of times people think that a life coach is telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. To solve your problems or how to make your life better. Really, a life coach is helping you learn how to tap into yourself and find those answers that are already there and giving you the tools how to do things on your own. I think that's kind of a big misconception is that a life coach is going to tell you what to do and tell you how to fix your life. And that's not the case. We're here to empower you mm-hmm. to take control of your own life.
100%. You are absolutely right. Thank you so much for sharing your answers as well. Those are always so fun to hear everyone's answers. but before I let you go, I have a final question. Where can people find you, hire you? We'll link everything below if you could let us know though.
Yeah. So my website is my name, TarinaMaldonado.com. From there, there's links to all the social media, but I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I think I'm trying to get Pinterest going, but
I forgot about Pinterest.
There's so much social media out there. It's a lot. I'm sure that you know. But Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, I'm active on those. People can follow me there. People can email me at Tarina@TarinaMaldonado.com if you have any questions. And I'd love to connect and answer any questions that you may have or see how I might be able to support you on your journey to living an authentic, happy life.
That's what it's about. Well, thank you so much, Trina, for being here today, sharing your story, sharing all your wisdom, and just having the courage to be authentically yourself and helping others do the same. So thank you again. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway? And if you know what animal, or not animal, I was going to say animal, but what movie or actress that Trina will be for a great movie about her life. But with that being said, thank you everyone for joining. And thank you again for coming on here and just sharing everything.
Thank you so much. It's been such a great time.
Thank you. And we'll see you on the next video.